Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
Happy fall to you. Do you guys in Georgia have leaves, peach trees change color?
I wouldn't be able to pick a peach tree out of a crowd of one. That's actually, I think South Carolina has more peach trees now than Georgia. But it's getting a little bit of fall color. We had a little frost on the lawn this morning, so it's cooling off here too.
Wow. You don't think of Athens, Georgia as having frost in October.
Don't worry. It'll be in the 80s soon.
Okay. We're going to look at a topic I think that is really relevant to, probably to all the listeners themselves, but certainly to all the listeners' patients. There's been lots of controversy about how aggressive we need to be in treating hypertension. Probably very little argument at one end of the bell-shaped curve, people that have moderate to severe hypertension. But those at the other end of the curve raise some difficult issues for clinicians. The treatment of hypertension usually begins with non-pharmacologic therapy, things like decreasing sodium intake, weight reduction, avoidance of alcohol, regular exercise. And no argument. These things can lower blood pressure, and if they don't, they're certainly good, and they have very little risk. Drug therapy, in comparison, can be expensive and have lots of side effects, including hypokalemia, hyperlipidemia, things that may actually increase the risk of coronary artery disease. So we like to have some clear evidence of benefit before we begin to do something, and that's true with antihypertensive drugs for the people with mild hypertension. Now, for many levels of hypertension, we've got great evidence, such as systolic pressures above 140 in people younger than 60, systolic pressures greater than 150 in patients, at the other end, sort of 70, 80 years old. Major societies, of which we all know, have published definitions of hypertension, some on this side of the Atlantic and some on the other side of the Atlantic. And in general, there's agreement, particularly of moderate to severe hypertension. Now we have some new friends here. There's a new disease that's been described called pre-hypertension, perhaps an example of disease mongering, but it's defined as blood pressure between 120 and 139, or diastolic between 80 and 89. The question is, what do we do with this? And there's probably a condition soon to be described called pre-death, with systolic blood pressure, say, below 160. But seriously, what we need and what our patients need are some measure of the magnitude of the expected benefit, which is where the number needed to treat comes in. Mark, you found a poem or a research paper that was published in the Annals of Internal Medicine in 2015. It starts on page 184. It asks, I think, a very important question, which is, what are the benefits of treating mild hypertension? Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, this has been, a lot of people thought kind of a settled question. And yet when the Cochrane reviewers looked closely a little while ago, I think it was last year, they published a meta-analysis that got a lot of press because they said, actually, we didn't find any clinically significant benefit of treating mild hypertension, 140 to 159 over 90 to 99. Now, I thought their analysis was limited because they only found basically three studies. They were quite old. They were using either beta blockers or drugs that are no longer in wide use. And so I thought it had fairly little relevance, and I thought what we needed was more data using sort of contemporary approaches to hypertension. So these authors actually found additional data that was not in the Cochrane review quite a bit. And they were able to use individual patient level analysis rather than just comparing the published study results. So they built on the Cochrane literature search. They only included studies that of mild hypertension, of patients with mild hypertension, and that followed them for at least a year. And these were patients with no previous cardiac disease. Basically, they found a total of 15,266 patients. They found that the studies were well-designed overall. And they used a variety of approaches. Some used just a single drug versus placebo. Others kind of a stepped care approach. The average duration of treatment was 5 years, and they found no significant decrease in the overall cardiovascular events, coronary events, or heart failure. But the likelihood of stroke, death due to cardiovascular event, or all-cause mortality were lower with treatment. So some really important outcomes were improved with treatment. Now, they calculated number needed to treat for 5 years at 173 for stroke, 95 for cardiovascular death, 99 for overall mortality. You know, so fairly large number needed to treat, but not out of the realm of what, you know, might be reasonable. So the bottom line is they found that treating mild hypertension over a 5-year period decreases the risk of stroke, cardiovascular death, and overall mortality, the latter with an NNT of about 99. Confidence intervals were pretty broad around these estimates, but I think still in the reasonable range.
So two points. One is I can't believe we're still talking about this, but it is a nice study. It's got 15,000 patients, which is impressive, for 5 years, which is also impressive. Number needed to treat, you know, you said about 100 for most of these the outcomes where they did find an effect. But obviously that has to be balanced against the number needed to harm. What did they find there?
Yeah, about one in, I think, 5.6% of patients withdrew from treatment because of adverse effects. And if you compare that to the number withdrawing from placebo, the number needed to harm was about 36. So for every, you know, some people just aren't going to tolerate these medications. I think that's, you know, all of our experience. And, you know, there's always people who don't tolerate placebo. So, you know, these medications do have some side effects for some people. I think what I tell my patients when we're starting is, if this one doesn't work, we're going to find one that does. The vast majority of the time, we can find a medication. And if they have a bad adverse reaction to 5 blood pressure medicines in a row, that's time for a psych consult, I think, not necessarily
okay.
a hypertension consult.
Yeah.
But I think the other, you know, we are going to be talking about this because as you talked about, I think, on your other podcast, the SPRINT trial has been released as a news release. And this was a large trial that the NIH is claiming is this landmark study showing that even tighter blood pressure control to a target of 120 over 80, I think was their target. I know the top number was 120, is beneficial or potentially beneficial. Unfortunately, it hasn't been published. We don't know the data. We don't know what outcomes. We don't know the number needed to treat or number needed to harm. But I think we're going to be talking about this a lot in the near future.
Great. And you know, 100 is one of those numbers, number needed to treat, where, you know, a reasonable, well-educated person might decide, yeah, that 100, I'll do that. And another reasonably well-educated person could hear that and say, 100, forget it. I'm not going to do something that, you know, 99 people aren't going to get any benefit and only one of them will. So it is something that we need to talk with our patients about.
Yeah, and again, we're all awaiting the results of that SPRINT trial, which looks different from the results of ACCORD and some of these other trials that also randomize people to tight versus not so tight blood, or you know, kind of usual versus extra tight blood pressure control, and did not find any benefit. So I'm really curious to see what they found and didn't find.
Excellent. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.